recording.
Aye.
I'll kick us off, mate, if you want.
Aye.
So hello and welcome to another episode of Rebel City Podcast. We're getting quite good at being consistent, which is...
Getting there. We have had releases in 7 of the last 9 weeks or so. They've been going quite well. And, yep, people getting involved again, which is nice. So it's, you know, good to get it moving, keep it moving.
We've got the smoke and mirrors of... We're batch recording, I suppose. We were recording sort of like 4 or 5 topics, and then we're putting them out one at a time. Seems to be really working though, to keep things moving. But there's been a lot happened since the last time we were here, and I think one of the big stories that's been kicking about is the Russell Brand story. First of all, Dave called it because I felt like it was a bit of a Jimmy Savile, in the sense that if it was going to be Russell, it's like, it's so obvious that Russell Brand's going to be like outed for being, you know, like alleged sexual assault and stuff like being not being great towards like women. But you called it, Dave, an absolute belter. I just thought it was too obvious. Like, really?
It was, you know, it was after the Louis Theroux interview. He did one with Catherine Ryan. And like, I'd watched all of his interviews that he did most recently on the BBC. And the one with Catherine Ryan, when she was talking about it, skirting around about the name and everything. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. As soon as you Google it, you find out who she was working with. And like, she makes comments about it on like Roast Battle because she was like co-presenting it with him.
Yeah.
There was bits that were cut out apparently. And then when you said what it, like it was going to be a comedian especially, I was just like, it's going to have to be him or there's a short list, although it sounds like there's a few more in the mix out there.
I was under the impression that when I seen the story breaking, it was going to be a number of high-profile comedians who were being exposed for inappropriate behaviour. As I say, you were like, oh, Russell Brand, and I was with Paul in the sense where I was like, we did talk about him recently when he went on to Rumble and how he'd been palling up with the Trumps and stuff like that. Which was maybe slightly prophetic, given he seems to have been doing that to buy himself a level of cover. But at the time, obviously, we were unaware. You know what I mean? We were more kind of like, you know, he's been pretty open about his recovery, about his issues with sexual addiction and stuff like that. Like, I don't see it. I don't think it's a big enough headline for the type of like joint mission between Channel 4 and the Times for it. You know, and then turns out obviously it was him, and that's not a belittle. You know. What he's accused of, you know what I mean? Like, what he's accused of is extremely shady, like, and, you know, coming up with the whole, yeah, they were all consensual. You're like, mate, you were sending a fucking limo to pick up a 16-year-old from school, telling her to put you down as a fake name, you know, allegedly, and her phone and all the rest of it, and not to speak about, like, these are, like, textbook grooming techniques that, you know, you're like, so you knew.
Aye, that's it.
You like, fucking knew.
If there was nothing wrong with you, then why were you not going to meet her for the school gates? Aye. Do you know what I mean? And why are you sending like taxis and whatever? And the actual one, like I was going to say, did you watch the documentary and or have you read about it? But the 16-year-old one, the story of the taxi driver really hit me.
Yeah.
Where the guy basically begged her not to go into the house because he knew whose house it was. And he was like, I've got a daughter, what age you, 16, I've got a daughter the same age as you, and if she was in a situation, I would hope that a guy in my position, and that's where I was like, fucking hell, man, like a local taxi driver knew, like, whose house that was, what he was up to, and like, that gave it a real emotive sort of like side to it, you know, if it wasn't emotional enough. that really hit me where I was like, fucking hell, man. And obviously, like, you know, maybe no, Dave, I mean, you're old enough to have a 16-year-old kid. Like, fucking hell.
Shit, Alex is 19.
You know what I mean? Aye, exactly. So that really sort of like, I was like, oh, man. And then the way that he was referring to her as the child.
Yep.
She said that when he, allegedly, when he found out that she was a virgin, he almost like get giddy. And that's where you're like, oh man, like, aye. Oh man.
And there's the sections of his stand-up that, you know, really, like, uncomfortably echo what he's accused of. There's this young woman, obviously, is accusing him of essentially, like, forcefully throat-fucking her, right? There's no nice way to put that, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's sections of his stand-up run about that time where he's talking about how he really enjoys it when, you know, he's so far in their mouth that their mascara's running, and you know, there's a really like violent sexual imagery that was part of his act that he was, you know, and has now been accused of reenacting or enacting in his actual personal life. So, like, this is not just a guy that was, you know, fully conscious of who he was and what he was doing and the power that he had over this young lassie. Like, he's out there basically kind of bragging about it and his actual, you know, work. You know, people made a lot of, like, the interview between him and Savile where, you know, they're really, like, talking to each other in an almost kind of, like, codified way where, you know, they almost recognised each other. And I think that's probably where that Savile comparison starts and ends for me. I know a lot of folk work people, it's this big, you know, like, Savile manipulated institutions to get access to dead bodies, right? So, like, what Russell Brand has done is fucking, or is alleged, accused of doing, is fucking grim, right? You know what I mean? Like, the story of the, you know, assistant that he was working with where he was running about chasing her about naked, and then, you know, there's people who were waiting to work with him that day, standing outside the house, could hear us screaming, and when the lassie managed to get free and go out, they were all apologising to her because they were like, we could hear what was going on outside his you know, address. We were waiting to go in to do legitimate work, we just didn't know what to do. You know, like, so, you know what I mean, like, there's physical evidence and all these things as well, so for all his posturing and, you know, big words and whatever else, like, to me, I think, in my personal opinion, on the balance of probabilities and what we've seen so far, you know, they look like legitimate claims to answer to. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely. I mean, there's evidence, like medical records, therapist notes at the time. Like, there's just so much coming together that his narrative that this is some sort of, like, mainstream takedown because he's anti-Big Pharma. I mean, that's been the one that he's sort of honed in on, is that he's anti-Big Pharma and he's anti-vaccine, and this is the reason why they're coming to take him down. Like,
what is he saying that a million other people on podcasts are saying? Like, he's no, this is where his argument for me falls down the most, is that he's talking swivel-eyed bullshit. Like, this, like all the other people that talk this stuff, like, there'll be, you know, concerns about this. Like, we've covered this before. I think when it comes to vaccines and lockdowns and whatever else, people didn't have a fucking clue about today. They did what they thought was right, and in hindsight, some of it looks like it might have been overkill, but it was, these decisions were made with, like, the genuine best interests of people at heart, you know what I mean? Like, and for them to then be like, oh, you're just like, you're not saying anything interesting, you're not saying anything original, you're not saying anything dangerous, like, fuck up.
That's but this is what he's using, and I think, like you'd sort of said, he's almost like trying to, he's almost, it looks like, I've went backwards and forwards in this, in my head, when I sort of think about it, I'm like, is he smart enough to grift? Like, is that, like, the way that people are thinking that he's somehow, Me Too's happened, and if you look at the timeline of when he started to cozy up to, like, say, the Trumps and the Jordan Petersons, and, you know, even, like, if you look at the people that came out and sort of, you know, and basically, well, like, we believe Russell, Lawrence Fox was another one, Andrew Tate was another one, like, these people are part of this, like, what, you know, was sort of said at the time as the intellectual dark web and the perpetuators of misinformation and all this. Like, he's definitely aligned himself with a lot of people like that. I'm not too sure if it's been quite as calculated as, like, oh God, like, this is all going to come out about me. I don't know if it's been sort of coincidental that he's done that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did try and sort of, like, create, like, a fucking Kevlar, like, cancellation Kevlar run over these people, so that he, but I don't know, like, I've went backwards and forwards with that. He seems like, when I watch his content, he seems quite manic, you see, you know, and I don't know if somebody in that position could really do that, and also, he's got a team, would they accept, look, we're just going to grift towards that, do you know what I mean, and or would they
it
be
depends
like, oh,
on
wait
how
a minute,
in the
you
loop
know?
They are on that side of things, I suppose. Because he is an intelligent, vaguely articulate guy who clearly is calculating enough to manipulate his fame and his wealth and his position to get the type of gratification that he's looked for over an extended period of time. Like, the notion that he's jumped to Rumble and YouTube to, like, build this conspiracy firewall around him does feel a bit conspiracy adjacent to me as well. But at the same time, as you say, I think it's more likely that post, you know, Me Too and Epstein and, you know, the Weinstein guy and all these other things that, you know, this guy was an open secret. You know what I mean? Like, Katy Perry, his ex-wife, had, you know, comments in her autobiography about, no, I've got shit in this guy for a rainy day. Like, this was like an open secret. Uh-huh. And I think it's not a coincidence that movie roles started to dry up and TV roles started to dry up. And this, I think, is the YouTube and Rumble was mere
a necessity.
A necessity.
So this is an interesting thing, because I can remember at the time, sort of circa 2018, I remember a YouTube video basically where he alluded to that he is almost above it all, that mm-hmm. his sort of like consciousness awakening, you know, he was getting, I think his retainer was like 10 million a movie. So like by the time it gets to like, what would you say Russell Brand's biggest role in a Hollywood movie is? Like,
get him to the Greek.
Sarah Marshall.
It's the same character.
It's the same. Aye, the eldest.
I mean, I've never watched either of the two of them.
They're actually both
good. Aye, they're good movies. But I think by the time he gets to that sort of get him to the Greek, where he's like basically the lead in a movie, he'd like a fucking 7 or 10 million pound, basically like minimum. So right. If anybody wanted Russell Brand on movie, it was like 7 to 10 million. And he'd sort of alluded to this. And mate, I'm going to put my hands up and say I was hook, line and sinker with it at the time. That he was like, I have risen above all this. It was almost like, I've seen behind the curtain. I didn't like what was there. And so I am here. This is why I'm here doing this. Telling the truth to you is because, you know, the Hollywood bullshit. But now with hindsight, you're like, he's been absolutely blackballed. Like, somebody has... Because Comedy Central, like, this is an interesting sort of bit run about the same time. He tried to do, like, the Comedy Central roast with Jimmy Carr. I think Catherine Ryan was on it. And somebody said in the roast about him being a rapist.
Yeah.
And he got a super injunction so that they couldn't air it.
So I've heard of there being, like, super injunctions.
Allegedly.
I think somebody had said, like, this is one of these almost, like, sort of myths of, like, British culture that, you know, all these celebrities have all these super injunctions and, you know, in actual fact, something like less than 10 have ever actually been issued.
With the Queen?
I'm not sure who they're for. Because, again, the nature of them is you don't get to know.
Well, that's right. I remember there's been loads of chat over the years of sort of super injunctions, hasn't there? Yeah. And I was always like, and these super injunctions are always done by bad people to cover up bad things. So I'm always like, well, surely if you ever just want to catch a criminal, you just open up the book of super injunctions. And just go, oh, well, here you go. Oh, dodgy
the big
bastard.
Red book of super injunctions.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't think Russell Brand's like waving that kind of power. I was trying to think of the last.
So he is apparently extremely litigious.
Aye, and a super injunction is basically like getting people to stop spreading malicious lies about you. It's not like they go to the court and go, oh look, I raped 3 women, and they've mentioned it in the BBC, and I don't want them to mention that. So
no,
aye,
that's not how it works.
No,
that they go and they say that this is like malicious lies. And to stop it being spread.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that this is like, it's not even like, oh, this is a rumour. I'm pretty sure that this is out there of like some of the shit that Comedy Central couldn't air these episodes of the roast battle because of
I've
like,
heard that.
You got like a,
kind of like there's yeah, a few yeah, people that have like involved. Dug him in the ribs at various comedy things and all the rest of it. And then I've heard feel like lawyers and shit after it. I don't know if it quite went to the super injunction, but
sort of
a lot of the people involved in this have said is, you know, lawyers are over at any time anybody even has the slightest whiff of this type of stuff.
Well, he's built this whole new image now, hasn't he, of being this like healthy living mind and soul and body and Wim Hof, and
yeah,
he does a lot of festivals, he does a lot of female focused like, festivals.
Maybe
and
he
maybe,
is.
Maybe it's the change. Like, there's also the fact that he has got two daughters now.
These are historical allegations as well.
There could be things, they're older allegations from a time where he did say a lot of things about how he was at the time.
Yeah,
he's a recovering addict from heroin, a sex addict as well, in many ways. So I'm not discounting anything of what's been said, because obviously that's still to come to court, hopefully. Like, that should be the process should be that he goes to court. But yeah, I think that, like Paul says, there was a reinvention done. Whether he was smart enough and it was that long thinking enough to be that, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, but It'd be, but I think having like two daughters and things like that will have surely, hopefully, changed well, anyone.
I'll tell you what, right? I would be very interested to see what the wife's take on this, because I don't want to get to, you know, but basically she was an ex-girlfriend who he, and this is his story as well, as I've heard him tell the story, who basically like chose, he just phoned her and was like, I want to marry you, and then had kids.
Oh, really?
Run about that sort of 2018 time as well. Oh. And you're like, what? Why has he done that? Like, what's the... But it might just be all coincidental. But yeah, it could also be part of his reinvention. Mm. I'm going to become a family man.
Yeah.
And we know how the right wingers love a fucking good old, he's a family man, you know. But the to get to his response around all this, I'm exactly what you just said there, Dave. Like, you know, I think that the evidence is stacking up. There's been private investigators. The work at Channel 4 and The Mirror have done is supposed like to be 4 years. Ironclad. Like, and they've had so much legal advice on it before they could even bring this out to the public. Yeah. This isn't just some sort of snapshot. Let's bring this guy down, you know.
No.
You know, this is something that's been ongoing.
And he will have had wind of that over the course of that 4 year investigation as well, which is something surely that you need to factor in when you think about how much he's changed up and how much of this new persona was planned, because, you know, they will have been reaching out to friends, they will have been reaching out to ex-girlfriends, yeah, they will have been reaching out to alleged victims and, you know, lawyers and whatever else will have had the wind of this, like, way, way before the story was getting put together. You know what I mean?
Like, I made a joke that he must have spent about 9 hours in his fucking cold tub the day that it came out. Because this is what this whole, you know, like, thing, and people are like, cold water and blah, blah, blah. Like, be a good person. Maybe yeah, you won't feel so anxious, you know? Like, maybe you're, like, you don't need to, like, fucking get your central nervous system on high alert, sitting in the freezing cold for, like, 10 minutes a day to actually just function as a normal human yeah, being. Just be a nice person. But to get, like, his, saying this to Dave off mic, he's gone on about, like, in his response, he talked about being deplatformed, which is absolute bullshit. He's not been deplatformed. Mm. Like, they've demonetized him. And I think that he's smart enough to know that the way, the things that he says hold weight. So, well, that's the whole thing. Like, they shouldn't be deplatforming people and blah, 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 which we've had, you know, chats about whether yeah, it's right, whether it's wrong. But there's a big difference between deplatforming and demonetizing. They can stop you making tens of thousands of pounds for your content.
Yeah.
While there's like police investigations or whatever going on.
Absolutely.
But he's free to post on YouTube. I mean, he posts on Twitter every day and it's all come to Rumble. So the guy's still making money. Still got a fucking platform.
He's out there asking for donations and all that kind of stuff as well. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about the actual message. It's about the money. And of course it is. It always is. It's never about, you know, this truth seeker, this truth teller, like, you know, come to Rumble where I'm still getting paid, and here's the link to my donations. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, here's my Patreon. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think we need to, I think a lot of consideration and a lot of thought needs to go into the fact that he's had a self-confessed messiah complex. I mean, he did a whole fucking tour about it. He's also had a lot of sort of narcissistic traits early years and displayed a lot of that.
Yep.
And also, like, you know, hurt people, and he's been, like, again, he's been out there and very open about his addictions and his trauma and, mm-hmm, and what he's had. So I think all of this sort of builds up, and when you see somebody as well, like, my red alarm starts to go off when somebody's like, I've never done anything wrong. You know, like, see, it's like, well, there isn't a human being on the fucking planet that
can't be
wrong,
open about what you've been open about, and also convince us that you are whiter than white, like, you know, innocent. Like, it's just no, the two things don't go together. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like,
do you mean when he was saying, like, I did absolutely, it's something like he uses absolutely consensual, he uses like an absolute.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's using, like,
I actually watched a YouTube
summit
video like a couple of days ago about a body language expert watching his like video that came out about
yeah,
it. And it's quite interesting, like, when you watch the body language one, because he is very good at what he does in terms of the way that he presents information, the way that he, like, puts things forward.
Yeah, but there's certain things you can't hide.
No, well, to be fair, the body expert comes back saying that most of what he said is pretty upfront, like, which I was surprised by. I thought there'd be a lot of, like, panic and stuff like that, but actually he's quite...
But then the problem with body language analysis is that just because it's his truth doesn't mean it's the truth.
He could have absolutely convinced himself.
You know what I mean?
Like, aye, what he's saying's true.
Aye, 100%.
Which, that's when you get into, aye, like polygraphs and all of these things. Like, aye. You can convince yourself of lies, you know what I mean? And
you know, high-end narcissists do believe their own bullshit, you know what I mean? And that's part of the problem. But again, I think... For me, one of the big sort of takeaways, and I think we see like other examples in the last few weeks as an issue that we still need to deal with, is like just the kind of like underlying kind of misogyny. You know what I mean? Like, because this is, again, you know, the open secret. You know, Jimmy Savile, open secret. Gary Glitter, open secret. You know, Philip Schofield, Hugh Edwards, Russell Brand. Like, you know, anytime any of these stories breaks, somebody somewhere is like, oh, I know, like...
Did you find
that was the opening secret?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, but I did find it very interesting to watch a bunch of people who jumped right on the Hugh Edwards story, mm-hmm, and wanted Philip Schofield held to account, all of a sudden be like, I believe Russell Brand.
Yeah.
And you're almost like, is that like some sort of like weird unconscious homophobia that's going on with you that... The straight guy who's got accusations of assault is like, no, I don't think that. I think this is a mainstream media takedown.
Andrew Tate and to Lawrence Fox, and this is kind of the point I'm making, is that it does make a difference to them that the victims or the alleged victims are women. You know what I mean? Like, these, you know, right-wing grifters, as, you know, what a lot of them are, you know, we're no openly saying we're homophobic, but we're homophobic. And, like, you know, did Philip Schofield groom a 16-year-old boy? Did Hugh Edwards, you know, groom an 18-year-old? Like, you know, they were ready to hang, draw, and quarter these guys. And again, their behaviour was shady, like, rightfully so. Like, so there should be the equal levels of outrage and sort of disdain that is immediately hyped on somebody like Russell Brand. But the difference here is he's one of their mates and the victims were women.
And also, if we're taking it on face value, the morality behind what Philip Schofield did, what Hugh Edwards did, I'm against, right? But there's been no criminal charges or no criminal accusations against either of the two of them. And like you just said, it was hang, draw, and quarter them. Whereas Russell Brand has got actual criminal, like, accusations against them. And it's like, no, but I believe Russell
in
Brand.
Multiple countries.
You see on Twitter, like, starting to, like, the re-emergence of, like, what percentage of people are falsely accused of rape? And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, aye, really? Is this really where we're going to go with this? Like,
absolutely.
Come on to fuck. Like, and it is just this sort of misogyny.
Something that is, like, really unwelcome for me, and as it feels like it's creeping in, and into the mainstream via guys like Brand, and the accusations, you know, and, you know, his previous behaviour, I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say previous behaviour. But then you've got, again, your Tates, who is a, you know, self-confessed misogynist.
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. Even, like, you know, in the last week, the other one for me, and I actually, like, follow these guys, Politics Joe, the Ava Santini, Lawrence Fox thing.
Ava Evans.
He's on a fucking, you know, quote-unquote, like, news channel talking to his mate about who he would and wouldn't fuck, and you're like, what? You know what I mean? Like, that, what? And the fact that he's doubled and refused to apologise and came out and went, oh yeah, I'm sorry for, you know, it was like, it was the pure, oh, I'm sorry that you took it that way, apology, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry that I degraded her in that manner, but then, like, at the time, doubled down on it and went out on Twitter, refused to apologise, says he'd meant every word, he's been on, you know, like talking about how he doesn't regret it, and just like...
We said on Andrew Tate's Rumble live stream that he still finds it funny as fuck, and that's in quotes, that's exactly what he said, it's funny as fuck. He tried to, like, defend himself, so he said that, and this is, I've seen this a lot, so...
So for those that don't know, she was on...
She's on some sort of BBC. Good morning, I like BBC Breakfast, mm-hmm, where they were talking about the male suicide was part of the chat, but the subject was that they're thinking about having a minister for men.
Yeah,
we're so you know, like, we're so tough and we can do everything ourselves so much that we need a fucking parliamentary minister to help guide us in the fucking world. Like, who's this person going to be? Like, fucking Jacob Rees-Mogg or something like that? Or, like, I don't know. who are they going to give this to? But they were talking about, and she had said, and I went and watched the video just before we started, just to make sure that I got this right. She said that she felt that the Tories coming up with this idea of having a minister for men was part of the culture war. Mm-hmm. Now, what Lawrence Fox said on the Andrew Tate live stream is that she said that male suicide, the issue of male suicide, was a culture war issue, which that isn't what she said.
No.
Now, you could be like, she alluded to that, or what, like, that is not what was said.
I don't think that's a fair assumption, because she also acknowledged that, as much as one of the, there was a comedian who wrote a book on the panel, had said, yeah, suicide for men under 50 in the UK is the biggest killer. And she was like, well, that is also, that is true, but an equal amount, or a roughly equal amount of women, and we've seen this with, like, previous conversations with, like, Brothers in Arms and stuff like that, that a similar amount of women attempt suicide every year as men. It's just that men use more, essentially, violent means, more effective means of killing themselves than women use, and as a result, the male number is higher in terms of, I hate to use the word successful suicide attempts, but the amount of women attempting to commit suicide is largely similar. It's just that they are statistically more unsuccessful. She also then referenced, I think the figure she quoted was around about 7 million children in the UK who are waiting on some form of either medication, therapy, or sort of mental health support.
Yeah.
So she had taken the question about the Minister for Men, as you say, and being like, that explicit idea is very culture war-y, but I wouldn't be against a minister for mental health, and actually threw the conversation and the examples pretty wide open on that. There was a lot of nuance to what she said.
This is what triggered our lovely, you know, beautiful upper class friend Lawrence Fox, privately educated
Dan Wooten.
And Dan Wooten on GB News. And the comment, and I don't know where it came
also
from.
Also accused of extremely dodgy sexual practices.
Exactly. I mean, what a surprise, you know. But he then said on GB News, I don't know what the context was run about this, but he basically said that who would want to shag her? The only person, the only type of man who would want to have sex with Ava Evans would be a cuck.
An incel
or a cuck.
Yeah.
I think he is a bit of an incel. It's almost like...
He definitely seems the type.
But, so, I mean, he's a pure, she turned the wains against us. And she, like, Lemmy's pure, really nailed this cunt to the fucking floor. But, like, watching him on the sort of podcast, the Andrew Tate podcast, or the live stream, and I unfortunately went and watched it. I took down a couple of, like, sort of bits and pieces, like a sort of highlight reel of what the fucking clown got up to.
In terms of the GB News thing, while you're getting to that, like, this is again where that sort of creeping misogyny that I'm talking about seems to be, you know, escalating, because it's went for, you know, shitty comments online to, you know, shitty comments on podcasts to shitty comments on news channels. And, you know, what it did was, you know, this is a conversation about the effectiveness of how men's mental health is treated. And his first response to this was, she's an ugly bitch and nobody would shag her. And you're like, why, how, in what sense are those two things even, like, remotely related? You have no legitimate argument against the nuanced argument that this woman has made, and what you have tried to do is denigrate her in a manner that, like, lessens her while your pals sat there sniggering along. And this is, like, a mainstream news channel. Like, that is just unacceptable. And I use the word news extremely loosely. You know what I mean? They're currently under, what, 12 different investigations for just shocking practices. You know, they've got people try to say that, oh, we're having a conversation. Well, make it GB talk or GB conversations. Don't like kid on that you're a news channel when the level of debate and quality of conversation that you're having on that channel, like, we wouldn't even have it in this fucking room.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like, we are bound by no regulations and Ofcom and, you know, standards, authority, any of these kind of, like, that is the type of conversation that if I was sitting here and somebody hit out with that shit, I would be dragging them out into that street by the throat. Like, to think that that, and this is the problem, is that he had that conversation in advance, wouldn't know what he was going to say. The guys in the, you know, the room, the edit suite, knew what he was going to say. He then provided, you know, shit afterwards about him and Wooten joking about it. So Wooten's apologies. And he was phoning this lassie at like 1 o'clock in the morning. He was like repeating. So I watched the Politics Joe, the podcast, and I generally watch it every week. That is some nice, like, good quality debate and some kind of almost light-hearted roundup of, like, you know, UK politics news. And she did a 30-minute with the main sort of editor, and it was pretty rough. But again, one of the things that she said was that he was repeatedly wooting, phoning, and she was like, I don't want to speak to him. Like, this has got nothing to do with me. They're no speaking about me. They're speaking about an invented character that they have put my face on to make fun of women and make, you know, belittle people's political views. Says this isn't. They're not even talking about me. This person they're talking about represents me in no way, shape or form. So why would I want to speak to the guy? And after multiple, like, Twitter apologies and GB News apologising on Twitter, he was still repeatedly phoning her, like, to well after 1 o'clock in the morning, trying to, like, speak to her directly. And you're like, that's harassment. You know what I mean?
Like, it's crazy, man.
So
I mean,
the fact that he felt that he could belittle and degrade with his buddy on national television, and then had the right to impose the fact that he wanted to speak to her about it. It's just, again, but this entitlement that we're talking
this
about.
This is exactly,
you know what I
mean? I was going to say, this is the entitlement, isn't it? Like, you're talking about Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan has got a vendetta against Meghan Markle because he tried to fuck her one time and she knocked him back.
Because, of course, she did. Look at her. Look at him.
Like, he's been on record. That's all out there. And now he's got this, like, personal vendetta. And this is what really, like, gets to these guys, is this sense of, like, entitlement to people. Like, how dare she? And I'll bet you any money that Lawrence Fox would give his fucking right nut to be with this woman. That's the type of fucking thinking.
The problem that a lot of these right-wing types, these grifters have got, is that 95% of their content is projection. Like, you know, if they're telling you that something isn't what they're about, there's a pretty decent chance that
that's what they're about.
That's what they're about, or at least they want to dabble. You know what I mean? Like, there is never. These are guys that have built platforms that are exclusively about not telling the truth. You know what I mean? Like, you know, about twisting facts and arguments to fit an agenda that makes them money. You know what I mean? Like,
how
so,
did Lauren Fox end up with a fucking platform? Like, what the fuck is Lauren Fox? Like, what well, is like what is
a Lawrence Fox?
What is a Lawrence Fox? He just seems like a pure. Was he not like a bit of a shite actor? Is that not his?
Aye, but
is that
I think
not
he got a platform.
He comes from an acting. I think they're one of these like UK acting dynasties where he's got grandfathers and uncles and cousins.
That's like
and
the George
all,
Clooney, like in America, like, where they're all thing. Right. He got a platform for saying that the reason that he wasn't successful, the reason that he wasn't getting parts, was because he didn't tick like minority boxes. He started out somewhere in that ballpark. Right. He came out as an anti-feminist.
He also played Inspector Morse in a prequel, I'm pretty sure. Or he played like the sidekick, is it Lewis or whatever it was?
I think he played Morse, but the show was focusing on
it was
the
like
Lewis
a prequel because the original
whatever.
Guy who played Morse
but
died.
He started out sort of anti-feminist, then he started
what actually happened was that he was on stage in London somewhere. And then I'm pretty sure he got heckled in the theatre. And instead of just ignoring it and being a professional, he actually turned on the guy in the audience and bollocked him out for the stage. And at that point, they were like, you're done, get out.
Right.
And it's kind of...
Went for there.
Went downhill
for there. Spiraled for there, right,
and
okay.
He's obviously then framed that as, oh, well, it's all about diversity. You know, everybody's got to be something... In TV shows nowadays, you kind of just have a TV show about a white guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, actual fact, you were like verbally abusing the audience at a theatre production.
So
here's a wee recap
of some of the stuff that they talk about. He said that it was funny as fuck what he said. He claimed that his child support that he pays Billy Piper is a tax on men. So child support's a tax on men.
Right.
that his plight, like with the GB News, he compared it to being a Jew in the 1930s and 40s.
Fuck off.
And then Andrew Tate, he told a story about how he dumped a woman in the middle of the street because she came away with some sort of feminist take on something. And Andrew Tate went, "You were right, because that was a false accusation of rape. Like, that's exactly where that would have went. So you were good to get rid of her." Like, these people's minds are fucked, man. Like, they're fried. Either that or they think this is all funny. Like, this is all just a big joke.
So there's definitely, like, some edgelord shit in the mix.
Uh-huh.
So
like, this is almost comedy. Like, we're verging on sort of comedy.
And that's one
comedy.
Thing that got me about the argument about, you know, oh, free speech and GB News and Lawrence Fox and the fake vicar and Dan Wooten all going out, you know, within a few days of each other. Like, get us the Coast guy next, because I'm fed up listening to his shite. But
I quite like listening to him get bitch slapped about. Like,
what they were using, but was like, we have got the right to free speech, because look at somebody like, you know, Dave Chappelle. He's always had issues with, you know, the trans community for some of his work. You know, there's a lot of other, like, controversial guys, you know, out there saying shit. And they were framing their right to free speech in the terms of, well, comedians are allowed it, and that's what you say, it's like a joke. But the thing is, you're like, comedians are not news broadcasters. Like, on a news channel, you have a responsibility to report facts, to have a level of impartiality. Like, there are rules that are not valid for, like, an entertainer. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, again, where do we actually, like, recognise them as a news channel needs to come in, because if they think that they have a right to have these conversations and the same protections to free speech and free expression that a comedian or a writer or somebody has, then they need to frame their content in that way. They cannot say, we are a news channel, and then give you 24 hours of opinion. Like, those two things do not go together. You know what I mean? Like, but in that sense, they are looking at as a joke. Like, they think that they are at least partially, you know, being funny and, like, poking holes in these, you know, woke arguments and all that nonsense.
Wokery. But that's, it's exactly what you said. There's now this formula of, like, one, pick a hard take.
Yep.
Be hard on something. Don't have any, no nuance, no grey area. Go right in, because you're upset. And when you're upset, people will agree with you.
Yep.
And when they agree with you, they'll share your content. When they share your content, people will venomously disagree with you. And when you start to tap into people's emotions, you start to make big fucking money, because you start to get a lot of eyes on you. You start to get
you want to hurt these cunts. And when you see content that makes you angry, block them.
Delete it.
Block them. Exactly. It's honestly the most offensive and hurtful thing you can do to them. Because every time you share it, for every 10 people that disagrees with it, they find one person who's a subscriber a few days later.
Yeah. When we're talking about the content, the consequences of content, you know, and I suppose we'll get into this a wee bit. There was, and we're talking about the Tates, there was a, you know, like, unfortunately, there was a young woman, like, oh, I mean, what was she, 15? So it's like a teenager, like, murdered in London, and it looked, There was a section of the internet that wanted to basically lay the blame at Andrew Tate's feet.
Yeah. So, and yeah, the girl who died protecting her friend. So it wasn't actually
this
boy's ex-girlfriend. And this is a young man who has tried to get his ex-girlfriend back with a bunch of flowers in one hand and a machete in the other. Right, so there is, you know, an argument to be made that entitlement and misogyny that we've spoke about so far is in the mix somewhere, but a lot of people did jump to be like, oh, this is the fault of guys like Andrew Tate and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I think these guys have got enough legitimate examples of being shitty bastards that we don't need to like, tie stuff to them unnecessarily. I don't see any evidence that there was this young boy was engaged with that type of content. And even if he was, we're back to, like, does, you know, listening to Black Sabbath turn you into a murderer? Does playing Grand Theft Auto turn you into a murderer? Like, you know, the Tate stuff is influential, clearly, and there is problems that people, young men have had, a lot of teachers' unions and stuff have highlighted it. But until there's, like, evidence of a direct link to this particular type of crime, I think that was a wee bit unhelpful. I think that was just petty point scoring, because, you know, dig the guy out on the million and other shitty things that he's accused of, but like, this one was a tragedy. And for me as well, like, London has like a really complex, lengthy history in knife crime,
yeah,
and problems with knife crime. I think this year, I was reading the BBC website when it happened, and they were saying there's some like 16, 17 other knife-related deaths in London this year alone. This was just teenagers. You know what I mean? So yeah, the problem in London with knife crime, especially amongst the young, gang culture and whatever else, is way bigger and way more complex and way more nuanced than Andrew Tate being a shitty bastard on the internet.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, I hate it when people almost like pick up on a tragic news story and try and wedge their own sort
of... It's a disservice. This young lassie gave her life protecting her friend, like, and she's a fucking hero. And this was a beautiful young lassie who had the world at her feet, like, a great student, like, people had nothing but nice words to say about her. And I think the fact that in that moment she stepped out to protect her friend shows that a lot of what's been said about that young woman is absolutely spot on. And I think, yeah, wedging guys like Tate into it, it just does her a real disservice. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Just because you don't like his content and you don't like the message that he's saying. And like you were saying there, you know, it's like the Columbine thing. Like, these two guys did what they did, and then it's all, they listened to Marilyn Manson.
Aye.
It's got to be that. And it's like, come on, fuck. Like, aye, you know, like, how many... What are we going to do? What solution have you got? Are we going to just censor everything so that there can be, like...
And nothing controversial
anywhere, and just, like, turn everything into... You know, like, everything grey, and I really, like, take a real distaste when people are like, that's because of that, and it's like, what evidence have we got for that?
Yeah.
Just because they're talking about how, you know, women are possessions, and you're like, so that means that guy, like, I don't buy that, you know? No. It actually gets more support for people like Andrew Tate when they falsely, because then they use that, you know, and I think, like, if that sort of accusation is getting made against you, I think rightfully so you use it to go, like, look at the fucking state of this. Like,
aye, it actually, like, gives them breathing space, accusing guys like Tate, like Fox and whoever else, of shit that is unrelated to them, because they can now hide behind this accusation that they were at least partially responsible for the death of this young woman, and they get to use that as a shield to stand behind and hide the other shitty stuff that they are legitimately accused of, you know what I mean? Like, because they get to point at this example where, look at what I'm being accused of, and this is wrong, and you're like, aye, it is, but you're also out there perpetrating this content. Like, I get why some people made the comparison, but for me, it's a real stretch, because what's going on down south in London with, like, knife crime and the gangs has been going on for years, and it's been there before Andrew Tate, and it will be there after Andrew Tate. You know what I mean? Like, so to tie him to it, I mean, I don't want to be standing here defending the guy, but I just think that was one of the ones that did the young woman who sacrificed her life to protect her friend a real disservice, because they've made something that should be about her, about him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, but again, you know, I don't know if it ties into the misogyny that we're talking about. It's, you know, showing up to try and woo your ex-girlfriend with flowers in one hand and a machete in another is, you know, a pretty fucking, like, powerful, like, visual metaphor for some of this stuff. But the issues down there are so complex that we're not going to resolve it here tonight.
No, absolutely, you know, not. I mean? Like, absolutely not.
I think for me as well, like, one of the things that's really jumped out at me in recent weeks, and the GB News stuff and the Foxes and the Tates, the Calvin Robinsons, and, you know, like, Coast guys talking about, you know, replacement theories, and as the conspiracy stuff is like really closely linked to a lot of the like misogyny and stuff that we're talking about, because there's a lot of the same people like putting it out there. Your Russell Brands and stuff like that. Like, this is something that is also now becoming like frighteningly mainstream for me. You know, we've joked in the past about the QAnon stuff and, you know, all the various, you know, aliens and, you know, everything that we've talked about over the years when it comes to like conspiracy theories and, you know, what we think about them, what parts we do and don't agree with and what we understand and don't understand about them, like. But it's always been quite fringe for me. Like, these are things that we speak about because we see them on like social media, or we happen to be following a YouTube channel or whatever it is. Uh-huh. Like, we're now like looking at news channels like, you know, GB News, that have got talking heads on 24/7, like the Coast Guy and, you know, Fox and, you know, whoever else, that they're like mainstream platforming these really sort of horrific sort of conspiracy theories. And now, I think just like this week, like last few days, like, I don't know if you've been following any of the Tory party conference. Like, I mean, that's like fucking the conspiracy party conference. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. What has went on in the last sort of 4 or 5 days in Manchester is so unhinged and detached from reality, and is feeding directly. I mean, GB News has been out there lauded by, you know, Patel, who's talking about how they're, you know, fighting the good fight and, you know, putting out this great content that is like enriching, and you're like, what? You know what I mean? Like, and it's because they have fucked it to an extent that they have nothing else apart from the culture war.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, but that party conference in the last few days, I mean, we're seeing like the actual deliberate mainstreaming of conspiracy in British politics. And it's been coming for a while, clearly, but like, I don't know, 15-minute cities? Now, this is one of these ones that's become a real like right-wing kind of hot button in recent, well, so years.
First of all, like, I don't understand what a 15-minute city is, so it's probably good, like, to like get that out the road.
It's basically, we want you to be able to live somewhere that all of the amenities that you require for life, like a GP surgery, like a school for your kids, and so on and so forth, are within 15 minutes of your house.
Right.
So that you don't have to send your kids to a school at the other end of the city because that school's got better grades, or you don't have to oversubscribe at a GP that's not in your local area because, you know, that's the closest one to you, and, you know, dental surgeries and whatever else. This is about, you know, you don't want...
What are we at the moment? Are we at, like, 30 minutes?
I don't,
like,
know.
Like, I don't know. I'm probably less than a 15-minute city because I can do all those things within
a block.
10 minutes.
A block.
Exactly, right. So these are things that already exist, but it's about then people will use less cars.
Right.
People will rely more on public transport and maybe use cycles, and it'll be more environmental friendly. And it's basically like hipster utopia. Is kind of like the thing they're pitching here, but the right of taking it is you will be forced to stay
within 15 minutes
of your home.
Uh-huh.
You will be monitored on what streets you travel on and how often you travel. You will be monitored and restricted on how often you can shop, and, you know, all these other, and they've taken like this really like dystopian, like alternative, like almost like Black Mirror image of what it is actually intended to be, and are now pushing that out into the mainstream. And we had two Tory ministers, one actually referenced in his like conference speech that, you know, we will fight against these 15-minute cities because we believe in, you know, your liberty and your blah, 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 blah. And it's just like fucking straw man bullshit.
This is coming from the party that have made it impossible to get a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
The cost of dentistry and everything else gone through the roof, and people are dying because they're on waiting lists for scans.
Yeah,
by the NHS.
The same guys. So he's on the stage at the party conference, skiing at, you know, 15-minute cities are a bad thing, and we will protect you from this, you know, creeping fascism that is coming for you. And then after that, they've got another one sitting on the BBC, and the BBC lassie's like, "This is nonsense. Like, nobody anywhere is like saying this. Like, you're completely fabricating this. And the guy just completely blanked at what she said and just just parroted exactly what had been said on stage about how, you know, we believe in liberty and freedom and blah, 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 and you're like, and that was like copy and pasted across almost everything that was discussed at the Tory party conference this week. Meat taxes.
So I seen the BBC interview with the
fucking meat
the
tax.
Health, was it the health minister?
Right.
Where she was like, you mentioned the meat tax in your speech. And she's like, but that's not real. And she literally like spoke about something completely different for like 10 minutes.
Aye.
Just rabbited just on, there. Just filibuster, just boom, 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 boom. And then eventually they got a tune at her where she went, well, stuff like that said tongue in cheek. And it's like, I don't think you can get up and do a speech at a party conference and claim it to be satire or claim it to be something.
It's not a comedy club, it's not again.
You're not a stand-up comedian. Like, you're a fucking politician that gets paid a lot of fucking money for the public purse to do a duty, and you're up there claiming to be making jokes when you weren't making jokes because it is...
Your conference about your party platform for the coming election, about the year in government ahead. Like, this is where serious grown-up decisions are meant to be made. But what we've got is fucking Patel and Nigel Farage, like
dancing to fucking Tom Jones or whatever. Like, whatever like, the fuck was on.
And like,
did
fucking
Rishi Sunak, did he not come in? Was it this conference that he came out and like basically said, "Oh, I'm not going to do 7 bins in every household.
It's another
I'm not
one
going to do this."
That was just before it,
and it was just a load of list of things that were never on the table, never, or the never table. Even existed in the first place.
So they're just inventing stuff now, and like the 7 bins was one of them, like the meat tax. These were all things. These were all just made up policies that they're trying to basically say that the Labour Party are going to bring in, so that they can go, "Well, we're against that."
Yeah.
And be like, nobody's saying that, and they're like, but we're against it.
But this is the pure, like, this is just the pure Trump playbook button. This is where our, and we've spoke about this a lot, about they're dragging. I mean, if politics couldn't get any fucking lower, I mean, it's already pretty, the bar's pretty fucking low for a politician, and for the shit that you can get away with saying, they're dragging it into the fucking dirt. They're trying to, it's like a, it's like a shitty football team going up against a fucking very good football team. Like, let's drag this into the fucking dirt. Let's get them into a fight that doesn't even exist.
Yeah,
like the bus tactics.
But this current like incarnation of the Tories are the lowest of the low. I mean, how do they get lower than Boris? Like, they've managed to fucking.
But there's guys like Boris and Cummings that have looked at America and went, well, they have muddied the conversation over there to the extent with these conspiracy theories that nobody has got a clue what is going on anywhere. I seen one of the Scottish journalists, Neil
Mackay,
and he was sitting talking on Twitter, and he made the most like cutting direct point on this, is that we have spent 4 days talking about meat taxes in 15-minute cities, and the one thing in those 4 days that never got a single mention is the single biggest issue that the country is facing just now, and it's the cost of living. Cost of living crisis. And you're like, not one word was mentioned about how they're going to fix it. So this upcoming election, this is a snapshot.
But Sunak already said he wasn't going to fix it, didn't he? Basically, when he came in, he basically said, like, I'm going to be the one that just... austerity basically was his solution.
I am the change candidate. You're like, dude, you've been in for
13 years
now? 14 years by the time we get him to fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
we've never had a billionaire PM though. So it's change of times.
It's not the change that we want. Rishi, you know.
Guy's like, talking to us about HS2 rail lines while he's flying about the country in his private jet. And then do you ever see the footage of him trying to pay for petrol? Oh my God.
Like, and I try to figure out where the petrol nozzle went and then how they pay at the kiosk. I couldn't work out
how like a contactless car worked and stuff.
We've said it many times over, but we'll say it again. This is the problem, is that these people are so fucking disconnected from any sort of form of normal life that they don't represent people. They like, it's been like this for a while, but they now represent I mean, like, I'm sure one of the solutions that Sunak came up for the cost of living crisis and to deal with inflation was to lower taxes for businesses. And
which is exactly what Liz Truss wanted today, and it tanked the economy. Uh-huh. And then she's back. She was. She had an event on the fringe.
She's launching the Tory book, party.
She is launching a book. but she had an event on the conference fringe, where she wasn't like an actual party conference event, but it was like in a building up the street. You know what I mean? Like, and it was one of the best attended events of the entire conference. Like, it was wall to wall people in that room to hear her speak. And she went out there and regurgitated all the shit that got her binned. And, you know, she's actually talking about running when Sunak loses the election. So the next time when they're out of power as the opposition, she is now gearing up to basically run again for leader of the Conservative Party. Mate, she came away from the conference and they were saying that there's a block of up to 60 MPs who are ready to vote with her to try and basically make Sunak's life difficult because of how fragile his majority is.
I mean,
like, 60 MPs voting against him is going to cause havoc. And she is basically like, between now and the election, I'm going to make life as uncomfortable for this guy as humanly possible, because when he gets binned, I want to replace him. And she's the most catastrophic prime minister in history. And there's like people that are like, oh, I know, maybe she wasn't that bad. You know what I mean? Like, but all beside the point, getting off.
Her book is batshit crazy as well. Yeah. Like, it comes up with like economic strategies that are like straight from like the 40s playbooks.
I don't know if I mentioned it on an episode of Rebel City, or I was talking to somebody else about it. She's wrote a book about economics. She tanked the economy. Like,
their
economic plan literally seen the end of the shortest fucking rain I think ever.
That is.
And you're like, days. And now she's got a book deal to talk about economics.
It's she did
like,
her money budget with Quirting or whatever his name is, and overnight the UK economy lost £85 billion. Like, and she's releasing a book about economics.
But this is a problem.
This is the level of gaslighting that is going on now.
This is they've got zero qualifications, zero idea of what will work. You know, they'll just go, you know, look back to Thatcher. You know, this is literally like where we're at. You know what I mean? And like, they just. It's crazy. There's literal insanity happening.
But I think for the next year, we, like, as a population, really need to, like, strap in, because that conference and just the nonsense, like, just straight up made up lies and looking people straight in the face, telling a lie and being like, even when they're getting called out to their face that's a lie, they're just double down on it. Now, as the election gets closer, that's all they've got left. There's nothing. They've been in power 13 years and there is not a single thing they can point to
that they've improved.
They'll actually say, well, look, at least we did X.
Uh-huh.
Not only is this, so HS2, this high-speed rail, right, you know, is it an accident that he waited till he was in Manchester to announce that it wasn't coming to Manchester? No, it wasn't. Because that's a political calculation that he made that was going to deflect away from cost of living and all the other just daily scandals that they find themselves that we touched on in recent weeks. Like, you know, these are deliberate choices. The guy is happy to look like an idiot because he is not an idiot. And like, you know, HS2 was originally meant to cost what, 30 to 35 billion pounds. It is now, as a result of the pandemic and, you know, resources being scarcer and more expensive, shot up to like £70 billion, right?
And it's not even going to get completed.
It's not even going to go to the places that it's going to go to. And not only is it not going to go to the places that it's going to go to, he's also going to sell the land back that they didn't use. So there are business owners, and I seen a guy, I think, was in the metro today, and he was like, my land was basically taken. I lost, it was one of the guys, he owned a pub that he lived above.
Right.
And it was on the route that HS2 was going to be on. So they use eminent domain or whatever the
compulsory
UK,
purchase.
Yeah, whatever the UK equivalent is, eminent domain, compulsory purchase order or whatever it is, to basically oust this guy out of his house and business to then not build the railway line that they ousted him for. And he's selling the land. So it's not even as if somebody comes in, Starmer comes in next year and goes, do you know what?
We're going to complete
HS2. We've done these economic policies. The UK is on the way back. It's not like Brexit has, no matter how they paint it, just made it almost impossible for that to be the case.
Aye.
But say it in world, yeah, best case scenario, Starmer, somebody comes in, the economy bounces back and they go, right, let's go back and finish HS2 because, you know, this is something that will, we need 21st century infrastructure in a 21st century country. You know what I mean? Like there's rail lines that are literally Victorian. All across the country for the Victorian era.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they can't even go back and do that now because to claw back the money that they're losing, Sunak's selling the land. So he's actually like cutting off the possibility of
I thought what you were going to say, like my head went to, I thought you were going to say there's a business guy out there that sold his land to the Tories for like 30 million quid and he's buying it back for like four.
No, well, so probably will be.
There'll be shit like that happening. Oh, there'll absolutely be, like,
because everything's a scam with them, so there'll be, you know,
they'll be conservative.
Aye, they'll be
buying the land,
sold it, and then now they're gonna get it back.
We're folk making money left, right, and centre off it. Absolutely, because that's who they are.
Who was it that set up the HS2 originally? Was that like a?
Was that Northern Brown?
I think it was back in like
Blair
era. It was like the first conversations happened like 99, early 2000s, whatever it is. Like, it's been ongoing for at least 10, 15 years, I would say.
While other countries around the world have since stopped using the tech that they were going to put into HS2 and moved to better tech.
Ah, it's obsolete.
In that time,
we've still not been able to build
a high speed railway that goes from London to fucking Manchester.
To be fair, I'm not really surprised after the job that they did in Edinburgh. We're not exactly the best at this shit. We bought the wrong fucking trams.
See when you strip away every single bit of manufacturing in a country, how do you expect people to then just go like that and have the skills? Like, have the skills to actually, like, build shit? Do you know what I mean? We build fuck all in this country.
Yeah.
We struggle to even build fucking houses that last a fucking decade, never mind anything else. But
it's one of the things that Truss says.
HS2 probably also got a fucking shitload harder when you close the borders for all the people that do have the skills.
Who actually can come in and build
it. So it makes it even
That was another one of Truss's pie in the skies, was that she wants us to get back to a place where the UK is building 500,000 homes a year. Now, at the absolute height of like social housing in the UK in like the sort of 50s and 60s, I think the figure I read somewhere was like it topped out around about 400,000 a year, and like half of that was private companies, half of that was the government.
And some of that would be high rise shit that we're trying to avoid as well. Like, possibly, do you know what I mean? Like, all those horrible 60s high rise shit that we've been trying to avoid.
We've been spending the last 20 years getting
rid of that when nobody wants to live in. And that's the problem, is that you can maybe potentially build 500,000 homes a year. It would break every record that ever existed. But can you build 500,000 homes a year that people want to live in? And the answer is no.
And they can afford.
Yep.
Their idea of building 500,000 homes would probably be renting 500 fucking freight containers, sticking them in the middle of a fucking field in the middle of fucking Berkshire, and then going, look,
it's got a litter box, that's a house.
Aye, exactly. You know what I mean? It's like, nae Legionnaires. Like, we've sorted that crisis. But
that's exactly what we're heading towards in the next year, I think, is merit this. And we're going to need to be aware of it. We're going to need to be, like, ready to call it out. And I'm already a bit tired calling it out, you know what I mean? Like, but it just has to happen. Like, these guys cannot be allowed to spend the next year lying to people's faces, knowingly lying to people's faces, and us going, we know you're a fucking liar. And they're like, so what? Here's my lies. Like, that cannot be allowed. Like, the guys covering the conference the other week have done a reasonable job of calling out some of the bullshit, but like, if the people you are interviewing and the people that you are engaging with in mainstream media will not abide by the conventions of mainstream media, you need to change your approach, full stop. Like, they can't nod and smile and both sides these things, and you know, hide behind ideas like balance. When somebody comes on your show, on your airways, and lies to your face and lies to your audience, and then continues to double down and double down when they're called on it, like, you need to be tougher than current British journalism is. Like, they need to be calling it out, they need to be pointing it out, they need to be ready with facts to shoot it down. And then if they can't actually like get them to stop, they need to think about, well, why are we platforming these guys? Should we have Jacob Rees-Mogg on News at 10 to talk for 20 minutes when we know that everything he says is a lie? Should we have people on this segment or question time or talk time, women's hour? Should we have these people on when we know for an absolute fact that they are coming here and every single word that comes out their mouth is going to be a lie? Why invite them? Why platform them? Why promote that idea? Because some government spin doctor went, today here are the five topics we're speaking about, and they go away and they put their panels together and then they speak about those five subjects because that's what the government has told them we're talking about this week. Like, why are we still doing that? Like, why is that being allowed? Why is Downing Street and the press and spin doctors dictating, you know, the direction of content when we know now more than ever, more than any time in history, that what they are coming to peddle is propaganda.
It's a load of shite.
It's propaganda. You know what I mean? It's culture war bullshit. And like the press need and the media need to get a grip of it because Trump did it. They didn't have a fucking clue how to deal with him. And they report his, even to this day, they report his shit verbatim. Like this week, Trump had his fraud case, which was already decided last week partially that, you know, he'd committed fraud, tax fraud. It's a civil case. He's lost his companies. He's lost his brand. Can he trade in New York? So on and so forth. He went to the trial for the first 2 days just so that he could have like impromptu press conferences at the front of the court in between sessions where he was going to, the judge is this and the, you know, so-and-so is that and blah, blah, blah. The
case should be thrown out.
Yep. Now, one of the things he said was that there was a dispute about the statute of limitations and that the judge actually reversed his decision, and it basically meant that 80% of the case had now been thrown out. Now, that was complete bullshit.
Complete
lie. Total and utter lie. But the right-wing nutters, the Brands and the Tates and the Charlie Kirks and the whoever else that it happens to be, went out, amplified it straight away, and then we had the mainstream media outlets unquestioningly just regurgitating it to the point where the next morning they went into court and the judge went, so, that's no true and here's why it's no true. And I had to actually go in and clarify his own ruling in court because Trump had stepped 2 feet outside the front door of the court, told a pack of lies, and the press just reported it. And you're like, you've learned nothing for 2016. Like, you cannot just blindly platform this guy because he is a political candidate. You well, need to be able...
The press have forgotten how to be journalists.
That's what I'm saying.
They have learned something for 2016. Donald Trump gets clicks. Donald Trump gets ad revenue. Donald Trump keeps this industry alive. Like, the mainstream, like, tabloid newspapers are dying on their fucking hoop because nobody's engaging with it anymore, and they know what's going to get clicks. They know. And so, and this is the... We spoke about this other issue many times. Too many people nowadays, I think, you know, attention spans, technology, mobile phones, people read headlines and then regurgitate it as truth. They don't look at the fucking context. They don't look at the content of the article. They just look at the headlines and they get the clicks. These news outlets just fire the headline.
See, at the same time, one of the things they ignored about what Trump did this week outside of court was that the judge's clerk... They found a picture of her with a senior Democratic senator, a guy called Schumer, who used to be, he was like fucking leader of the House or some shit, right? But he was a very senior Democratic senator, one of these boogeyman figures like Pelosi that they like to like poke fun at. This judge's clerk, this lass had a picture with Chuck Schumer for whenever, years ago. Trump put out a tweet saying, this trial is unfair because the judge's clerk is Schumer's girlfriend, and then posted a link to her Instagram page on the actual tweet.
I did that on Truth now, Social or whatever.
Media went nowhere near that. So they're out reporting these lies about rulings and such, completely ignoring what actually went on in the courtroom that they were in. But yet, when he's out there actually doxing people and like threatening their lives and like public standing on the steps of a court. They've got nothing to say about it. And that's where we need to, like, get better.
Uh-huh.
And this is what the UK guys need to learn a lesson about, because they can't let Patel come on, or Suella Braverman and the, you know, Enoch Powell impersonations and just let it go. You know what I mean?
Like, and fucking all sorts of shit.
Some of the stuff that was said, not just the conspiracy stuff, but just the outright lies about migrants and the impact that they have on our economy and our country. Like,
so
they can't just be allowed to just, oh, well, this is, we will report what they say. Like, no, you have got a duty to also challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, but we know that the media sources, like, we know that the BBC, we know that, like, there are certain media outlets that are completely politically aligned. Like, that's not new. That's not 2016. That's long standing. Like, the problem is that we don't have any real neutral point of information,
which
just doesn't exist anymore.
Which brings us full circle to the Russell Brand thing, because it ends up with people on YouTube, rightfully so, rejecting the mainstream media on YouTube, listen to narcissistic people peddle bullshit, and then go, this is them coming for me. Like,
this agrees with my worldview.
This is where we end up, and isn't this is the thing, like, isn't the average person's fault that is happening? Because, like Dave just said, this is a long-standing issue that people are, through the internet, being really, really awake to the fact that they don't report impartially, they do have biases, they are politically aligned, and it pushes people into alternative media that is unregulated, that is just full of fucking nonsense. Some truths, some outright lies, and it gets people really fucking confused about what's up, what's done, what's left, what's right, and here we are, you know, like,
because it's like when you're talking about the Brand thing, like, I wonder how long it took Channel 4 to, like, make sure that there was as little about them in that. Because he did a lot of his time on, they did a lot of, basically, it was the production company. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we aired it, but it was the production company. And it's all this, like, distancing, and then they were like, oh yeah, but the BBC, they're the ones that sent the car for the girl and all these sort of things. So it's like, yous are all just as bad as the guy who's fucking doing it. You're enabling it. You're encouraging it in some ways. Like,
they definitely encouraged it in him. Like, his whole persona, personality was, and they, you know, they definitely encouraged people to like that, and to be that sort of, like, so you're bang on, Dave, you're bang on, and this, like, you know, like, holier than thou sort of shit that comes out when they out somebody like this. It's like, I don't buy into that either. Like,
because I watched, like, I watched an interview with Georgina.
The whole point in this was that they all knew.
Aye. And that's the thing. Like, so obviously we had Daniel Sloss was the only comedian
that put his name.
Why the fuck wasn't Catherine Ryan there? Why wasn't all the other comedians there? Why? Like, why is Daniel Sloss has been an advocate and has stood up for, like,
there's two
a lot of different things
between,
for that.
Between
but why the fuck
yeah,
is he the only
fucking there's two
fucking
differences.
One?
If we just hone in on, like, the two people that you brought up there, like Catherine Ryan, who has spoke out against Russell Brand but never put his name or her name to, like, any sort of anything official, and then Daniel Sloss is completely independent of them all. His stand-up specials are on Netflix. He's not on the BBC. He's never done live at the Apollo, like, or maybe he has, but he's not at the Mercy. He is completely independent. He's made it in America, and, like, through the channels that I know, he's pretty fucking set for life. So
who's responsible?
He does not give a fuck about what they say about him or who comes out against
him. Who's going to book him on what game show?
Yeah, whereas Catherine Ryan does. So it's like personal is professional preservation, I think.
That's a really good place to be then for, like, the community of the comedians then, isn't it? Because what that says to me is that, like, there's going to be a lot more, but they're 100%. Still getting protected. So they're all getting protected. Like, it just stinks. Like, it's like, this guy, if he has done all these things and you guys all knew about it for all this time
and did nothing,
it did nothing. It's almost like, like people are talking about, the fact that they brought up the Jimmy Savile interview is like really, in my eyes, quite low. Like, I think because there's quite a lot of people who've done interviews with Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
So you can't just suddenly bring all of those people into the front and go, how did you not know? And like all these, like, I just think there's a lot of shady like things that go on in that way of editing that they did. Like the videos that they used of Brand, where he looked fucking mental, and they were quite grainy videos. It's almost like, you know, 80s videos of like dodgy ones of Savile and stuff. And I think that there was a lot of comparisons, and I'm like, those are different animals.
Yeah,
those are
different. Matt was different beats.
Ah, the start, own, like,
but I think that like the fact that the channels all knew, the broadcasters knew, the comedians know, like, well, yeah, he's a bad bastard, but there needs to be more people taking accountability.
Yeah,
for it.
And I think we can wrap up on this. That is exactly what I had that exact same conversation with Sharon, where I was like, do you know what? See, first and foremost, he needs to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. See, secondary. I don't even know.
Secondly?
Secondary to that needs to be this, like, an accountability thing within that industry, so that people have confidence again in the mainstream media, because there is zero confidence in it, and they're the masters of their own device, because they've twisted, they've spun, they've deliberately kept information away from people until it suits them,
yeah,
and then they go for it. And that's the bit where it's like, I can kind of get why people would be like, fuck them, fuck Channel 4, aye, fuck The Mirror. But at the same time, if he has done what he's done, he needs to be held accountable first and foremost. But then we need to build confidence in these institutions again. Definitely. So that we can stop this fucking,
exactly,
basically soap opera happening.
I mean, the misogyny that we've spoke about, as well as the conspiracy theory bullshit that we've been speaking about, they're like two sides, two edges of the same sword. You know what I mean? Like, where accountability probably is one of the answers that, you know, the mainstream needs to take, because if we want to lessen the impact that these individuals are having and the misogynistic messages that they're pushing that do like impact people's lives negative, if we want to like curtail the conspiracy theories that are fueling this nonsensical culture war that is, you know, get people at each other's throats over completely imaginary things, like, that's kind of what I was talking about when I was talking about the press and the standards, is like everybody needs to up their game here on that, I think. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, because we kind of just continue just waiting for shit to fall apart and point fingers at each other, because the real life consequences of that just now is that this is now a mainstream thing. This is the government of today is actively peddling this stuff and facilitating it because it gives them power. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think it's going to give them a fighting chance at the next election?
Aye. It needs to be challenged.
Aye, 100% agree. 100%.
Right, saying GB News is a Murdoch, isn't it? He put a few million quid into Murdoch. I was pretty sure that Murdoch put money into that, no?
It's a New Zealand fella with a kind of Greek-sounding name, and no, it's no Postecoglou. Papadopoulos or something equally racist. But it's a fella from New Zealand, I'm pretty sure, who largely bankrolled.
The only reason I ask is because I saw someone questioning Morgan, saying, oh, it's good that you got... Because I think Morgan's one of the cheap people of GB News as well, is he not? Piers Morgan.
Is he no Talk TV?
He's Talk TV. So it's saying here... Google's just said that somebody called Sir Paul Marshall owns GB News.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he's going to have...
Lord.
I was going to say, he's definitely going to have a villain origin story here. I'm just going to go and have a look at this fucking clown.
I think he might need to... I think that's the public face, but I think the guy who's been getting spanked around the place at Ofcom and stuff like that has a kind of...
He's the money man.
A name that has like Greek Cypriot origins,
right, okay,
from New Zealand. They're trying to bring a Fox model to British television because Sky News isn't enough. You know what I mean? Sky News is...
Sky News still go?
Sky News is Murdoch. That's...
Oh yeah, no, Sky's all Murdoch. And Murdoch's just stepped down, hasn't he?
The GB News and Talk TV are an attempt to bring the Fox style of broadcasting to the UK, and that's explicitly.
I was wondering
what
where GB News came from, because like when I've obviously seen clips of it, I've never probably watched a full episode or anything like that, but I've caught clips of it, and even for like research of this, like you've got to do a bit of watch a bit of
yeah,
it,
but...
and it's like this is, it's like, I don't know, it's like if you put This Morning in Nazi Germany, it's like ah, saying, they, welcome.
What they're describing is they don't, you know, they're having discussions and they're having chat, and it's not, they're trying
they
to
shouldn't call it news.
As
right.
I'm saying, they're trying to frame it as news when it's not. But what the, when you look at the behaviour of guys like Fox and Wooten and you know Tate and so on and so forth for Brand, what they want really is a podcast. This is like a podcast. On a terrestrial
with
TV
tons
channel,
of money. Like you know the, I mean? Just reading a wee sort of a sort of summary of the guy, he's basically he's been out there saying that he's looking to shape culture. He's got a bid in for the Daily Telegraph. He owns GB News.
Yeah,
and so he's pro. He was a big, massive like, pro Brexiteer type person.
Of course, he was
got his knighthood under the Tory government. So you can sort of see where this guy's going. But
you've got Tories interviewing Tories about Tories.
Well, did he say what he got his knighthood for?
No, probably just contributions to media or whatever. Or
he's hiding hedge certain fund. Rings from certain.
He's a hedge fund. He was a hedge fund manager. So he's one of these guys that's managed to make a fortune. Moving money about, you know.
Aye,
like,
and now he wants to use that money to divide everybody in the country to make more money.
Aye, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I mean, how long did we go for there? Another hour and a half?
About hour and 20. I think we were 5 minutes running before.
Right. Tons there. So if you've stayed to the end, well done, I think, more than anything else. Like, please like, subscribe, do all the stuff. We'll chop this up into the sort of smaller sections. If you like anything or you want challenges, you know, the comment section's there for a reason, so please do.
And I've learned how to take the restrictions off it.
Are they restricted?
There's a thing, it's like, and again, well, we can chop this, but it was like, there's an option that says, park, like, any potentially controversial things, and I'm like... So, like, when I've been messing about with it now that I'm doing some of the editing that, like, I'm like, I need to remember to take that off.
Turn that off.
I need to remember to turn that off. But it's, I usually, sometimes, the last two I've put out, I've remembered, like, the day after, and been like, fuck! Like, well, most of the reviews have happened, and I've had the comments restrictions on, so, yeah. Right. So it's a learning process.
I shall stop,
as is everything.